standing.
Thank you.
friends underneath the tree, cheerful laughs, carols play, all the things that seem to say, it's Christmas, it's Christmas.
That's not all Christmas is. What about the greater gift, giving to a world in need? These are things that truly mean it's Christmas, it's Christmas.
But it's not about our favorite things. We just want to be an offering like he is, like he is.
With show kindness, they see Christmas.
When we show kindness, they see Christmas.
Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day, for this season, for this time that we can gather, and we ask that you would continue to guide and lead us in all things. Lord, again, we thank you for our children and for the blessing that they are. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. May you be with the words you have given to me this morning. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. As we draw closer to the day of Christmas, we consider the events, we consider the evidence of things to come. John the Baptist, as I mentioned last week, is in prison, and he sends his disciples to ask Jesus for the evidence that he's the Messiah. There's like an infestation. They've just all come back in. All right. Where was I? The evidence, right? Here's the evidence. They're here. They're back. John is in prison. We talked about this some last week, and he's sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he's the one that they are to wait on, or if there is someone else. Give us some evidence that you are the Messiah. And it seems a little odd, I think, to us that John the Baptist would do this, right? This is John the Baptist. This man is sure of a great many things. Why is he doing this? And if we think about it, it makes sense. Because even in times of certainty, we have questions. We have doubts. Anyone ever have questions or doubts out there sometimes? Yes. John the Baptist, whether he knows it or not, and we're not really sure if he does, is nearing the end of his life and the end of his ministry. In a few short days, he's going to be beheaded by Herod, And he wants to make sure that he has done his job properly. He wants to make sure that he is leaving a legacy, that he's doing what he was called to do. John the Baptist is the last great prophet before the Messiah. He is the last one to speak of the coming of Jesus before he arrives. And this goes all the way back to Samuel. If we'll remember back in the Old Testament, the very first great prophet. It's imperative that John knows that he has filled his role in all this. That he has been faithful to his predecessors and to those who come later. And this is something I think we can all identify with, that desire to be doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, standing on the shoulders of those who have gone before and preparing the way for those who come after. And so we begin to see the evidence of all these things. And so the first thing that Jesus gives evidence to is to John's disciples about himself. Are you the Messiah, or should we wait for another? They come on behalf of their teacher, and Jesus tells them to go back and tell John the Baptist that Isaiah 35 has been fulfilled. It is being fulfilled. It is in the midst of being fulfilled. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor receive the good news. This is the evidence that Jesus is the Messiah. Notice that Jesus tells them to report to John the Baptist what they see and what they hear. I've always found that interesting. And what are two of the evidences that he gives to them? Those who are blind being able to see, and those who are deaf being able to hear. There's a sense now in this passage that John's disciples and John himself later can now see. He can now hear. And in this season of Advent, what have we blinded ourselves to? What have we closed our ears off from? What do we need to remove so that we can hear, so that we can see, so that we can be reminded again of why it is we gather, of why it is we celebrate, of why it is that today is a day of joy and celebration? During this season of Advent, we are invited to see and to hear. This evidence is meant to give us confidence in sharing what we've seen and heard with others. Right? What have you seen and what have you heard? And now what can you share with those? What evidence can you give? Jesus gives evidence to the disciples about himself. Secondly, Jesus gives the crowd evidence about John the Baptist. Who did you go out to see? Why did you go out to the wilderness in the first place? What were you expecting? And Jesus begins to draw a distinction between John the Baptist and the elite. Specifically here, he's drawing a distinction between John the Baptist and Herod Antipas. He says, did you go out to see a reed shaken? Did you go out to see a grain of wheat? And we know from history and from different archaeological findings that Herod Antipas had wheat and reeds on his coins. So this is a very clear distinction between John the great prophet and Herod the would-be king. Who have you gone out to see? You didn't go out to the wilderness to see Herod, because he's not here. You didn't go out in the wilderness to see the Pharisees or the Sadducees, because they're not here. You didn't go out to the wilderness to see the priests, because they're not here. In the wilderness, the people witnessed a man dressed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And if he came and set something before you, it was probably locusts or wild honey. Yum. We'd probably stay in church longer if we knew that was waiting for us for lunch, wouldn't we? They didn't come to see a man dressed in refined clothes. This is what they came and this is what they witnessed. There is something humble, there is something true, and there is something beneficial to seeing God in approachable ways. God is approachable. He wants to take down any and all obstacles that separate us from Him. The prophets, all the way back to Samuel, have been trying to remove these obstacles, and John the Baptist is no different. Jesus here is no different. In fact, He is the fulfillment of this gap or this separation. He has brought it to a close, and it's no longer there. God is approachable. Those, however, in refined clothes are a little hard to approach, aren't they? Those in palaces and walled-off temples are hard to approach, aren't they? But not John. Now, he's in the wilderness. It's easy to find John. Jesus, he's on the move. It's easy to find him. He's not locked away. He's not tucked away. He's not trying to leave or deviate from where the people are. He is there in the midst. I wonder this morning what it might look like if we were more approachable to others. I wonder what it would look like this morning if the church spent less time worried about who's out there and who's in here and just started being where we needed to be. I wonder what it might look like if we were more approachable. If we removed obstacles from other people. I love my robe. I love wearing it, but it could probably be an obstacle to some people. So maybe we remove that. No stains, so that's good, right? How can we be more approachable to others? Do we give evidence to others that God Himself is approachable? Or do we put obstacles and barriers in the way to Jesus? The church is, unfortunately, very good at doing that. Jesus gives John's disciples the evidence about who he is. Jesus gives, secondly, the crowds evidence about who John the Baptist is. And third and finally, Jesus expects us to be the evidence of who he is today. As John was the last great prophet before the Messiah, so now we stand as priests, pointing back to the Messiah and also pointing forward to his return. We find ourselves in the in-between, and ours is the task of showing people the evidence of Jesus Christ through our lives, through our faith. The Messiah's coming was not published in a newspaper. It wasn't shared on social media. The angels proclaimed it to the shepherds who were isolated in a field. Otherwise, it was hidden from the vast majority of others. When we share Jesus, it isn't likely to make the front page. It isn't likely to be on the nightly news. It isn't likely to be put out on social media. It isn't typically viewed as newsworthy. Because at the end of the day, we're just being kind, as our children reminded us, as our responsibility. Yet, like John the Baptist and the angels, we are to proclaim it nonetheless. We are to proclaim sight to the blind, mobility to the lame, cleansing to the lepers, hearing to the deaf, to tell others that the dead are raised in Christ, and to give the poor the good news of that resurrection. Today we proclaim what we have seen and heard so that others may see and hear. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again so very much for this day that you've given to us, for the joy of your Son, our Savior. May we be mindful of that joy. May we express and share that joy with others. May our joy become infectious, that others may catch